We are everyday people, and right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, we, the everyday people, always endeavor to have great conversation. We started off today with a big whopper of a question, which was, would you turn in your son, daughter, or best friend if you had a suspicion that they were the CEO assassin caught on camera last week? Tons of different opinions. Thanks again, y'all. But I wanted to share some more of the breaking details coming out of the extradition hearing. Again, in Pennsylvania today, Mr. Luigi Mangione was in a hearing. And it was very interesting because he actually made statements to the court. I am certain that there was some assigned lawyer there for Mr. Mangione, but I'm pretty surprised that the lawyer let the guy talk at all. I'm also pretty surprised about his outburst going into the courtroom where he seemed to say something about unjust or injustice and then said it's an insult to the intelligence of the American people and their lived experience. But just to refresh our recollections, we covered some of this yesterday, but again, in the extradition hearing today, one of the things that prosecutors will do to make the argument that the defendant here, Mr. Mangione, should be moved from, Pennsylvania, the Altoona, Pennsylvania area, to New York City where the murder occurred, they will review the evidence against the accused. This is one of those reasonableness judgments where these trial court judges have an incredible amount of discretion on whether to grant extradition motions. And usually there is some level of crime that has occurred in the judicial district where the defendant currently is. For example, he may very well be charged in Pennsylvania with some sort of gun crime because they arrested him with a ghost gun. This is one of those guns that you basically assemble at home, and that is illegal. So he may, in fact, get some criminal charges. He was, was charged with a gun charge in Pennsylvania. And so the trial court judge is looking at the seriousness of the alleged crime in the other jurisdiction. And in considering that, whether to keep him here in Pennsylvania or send him to New York, again, comparing the seriousness of the crimes, as well as the weight of the evidence that is known to date against the defendant, i.e., does it appear that indeed there's probable cause for the arrest and charging and that there is substantial evidence that the person did it? So what we do have from today's hearing is a review of some of the bits of evidence that were found on Mr. Mangione's person. Really interesting stuff here and some new news, and you may have heard it here first. So we knew yesterday that there was some sort of written 3-page manifesto. We knew yesterday there was a ghost gun and a silencer. And we knew yesterday that he was in possession of an ID, a fake ID that used the same exact name that existed on a different fake ID that he used to check into the hostel where he stayed for 10 days leading up to the murder in New York City. So we knew all of that. Today we got some new information about what was said in the manifesto. And there was basically a line in there where I am sorry or I apologize for the strife and trauma this may cause, but these parasites had to pay. That being released into the media today. And again, discussed during the extradition hearing today, he was asked, do you have drug or mental health problems? By the judge, he answered, no. Mark this down, that he answered no today in the extradition hearing, because I am going to tell you what I think, in addition to arguing about the Terry stop, I think the defense is going to have to make some kind of argument surrounding mental health. And I'll give you some thoughts about the sort of tack that I think they're going to take in this eventual murder trial. So mark that down. He told the judge today, I have no drug or mental health problems. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Prosecutors, again, arguing both for extradition and that he should be held in custody without bail, i.e. not released. Also, we found out today that when he was detained and ultimately arrested, he had $8,000 in U.S. cash, $2,000 in foreign currency. He had his actual passport on him as well. And here's where it gets really interesting. He had with him what is called a Faraday bag. Now, if you've never heard about this, you can go down a huge rabbit hole about what these are and who uses them. But a Faraday bag is basically something that you can put any electronic device in, read a cell phone, that will prevent the cell phone from being geolocated, from tracking the phone. So it is used by diplomats and intelligence people and law enforcement. Like your buddy from down the street that you see at the gym. Yeah, like regular folk ain't walking around with like a Faraday bag. That's just weird. And so very interestingly, the prosecutors today in this extradition hearing and the bail hearing made the argument that all of these facts, all of the things that he was found with, indicate a level of criminal sophistication, quote unquote, criminal sophistication. That was what they alleged. And very interesting enough, he responded in this hearing today saying, I don't know about criminal sophistication. He also claimed he did not know where this money had come from. And he claimed that this Faraday bag, he didn't even really understand that it was about blocking the geolocation possibilities that get emitted from a cell phone. I just thought it was a waterproof bag. That was what he was trying to sell to the court. I don't know about y'all, but I'm finding that a little bit hard to believe when the guy is a 2-degree holding engineer from an Ivy League school. I mean, come on, man. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is going to be a doozy of a case, y'all. Peg from Windsor, what's your thought this afternoon?
Peg, you're on the air.
Oh, hello. Hello. I'm calling about this killing of this United CEO. And I'm in the medical profession. And I have very negative feelings about insurance companies in general. And I think every single person has had a horrible experience. I'm in the middle of one right now. And you're waiting months and months and months to get a procedure done, to get a PT, to get an MRI. And people are recording things incorrectly in your chart. And you get a summary and say, I didn't say that. And it is like this is the opening of a can of worms, which we've all been wanting to do, because these HMO and insurance companies have been taking us to the laundry and taking our money, and Medicare doesn't know what's going on, I don't think.
Yeah, there's so much there, Peg. I've had claims denied after very traumatic injuries. I've had friends have to navigate the Badger Care field. I have friends laid off trying to get Cobra. I mean, everyone I know has a nightmare story about dealing with a health insurance company. And here's the thing, when I've had these experiences, right? Like, I'm a lawyer, I'm an economist, I know how to read fine print. And the amount of time that I had to dedicate to try to resolve the what I thought was wrong claim denials was like having a second full-time job. I also, anytime I talk to people about this, and again, this isn't legal advice, I can't give anybody legal advice on the radio, but you have to take like copious detailed notes. What's your name? Do you have an ID number? When did I talk to him? What time of day? Because they seem to forget, the insurers lose the information, all of this kind of stuff. But here's the rub. I would have very little sympathy for someone who has all of the privileges that wealthy, incredibly well-connected Ivy League people have when we don't extend the benefit of the doubt or the understanding of the frustration level to most regular folks who don't have any of those advantages, who commit crimes. In fact, crimes of much less severity. We have a tendency to throw the book at regular folks, and I'm really curious here how this is all going to transpire. And here's the tease, y'all. The defense attorneys for this young man are going to lean hard into some argument about his mental health. So that's why him saying today in this hearing, I don't have any drug issues, I don't have a mental health problem, is going to be a big deal. I think that's going to be their first natural tack. Now, maybe he directs his lawyers, I don't want you to make that argument, I don't have a mental health issue. But I think they're going to try to connect something about his level of pain, his frustration, extreme emotional disturbance, that kind of stuff. Folks, if you want to get your 2 cents in, a nickel, dime, or a quarter's worth, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Kat from Middleton, you are very patient, my friend. What do you got for us? Cardi, you might have to let her know that she's
on. Kat, you're on the line.
This is Karen.
Sorry about that, Karen. You're on the line.
Okay. Hi, Maggie. You know what? When I first heard this story, I had the feeling that he was a hired, they were going to just wipe him off and get him out of the country, kind of like a whistleblower type thing. But I also feel like he was meant to do this because Advantage plans, and I'm not sure if that's what, you know, United, whatever it is, the CEO from that, they carry those, but they are the wet dream for the Republicans, for all of us, Advantage plans, and they suck, because I sold Medicare supplements for Physicians Mutual, which is amazing if anybody has it, and I'm blessed, but I'm paying for it, you know. So it's like, I feel like this kid is this voice of so many of us, and if I had a child that was intelligent enough to do something like that, hell no, I wouldn't turn him in. I'd be kissing his feet.
Karen, so much there. First of all, to answer your question, yes, United Healthcare is a huge purveyor of Medicare Advantage plan. What is Medicare Advantage? If you don't know the terminology here, y'all, it's privatized Medicare. Huge, huge moneymaker for insurance companies. This is potentially why the shell casing said things like, deny, defend, and depose. In other words, deny the claim, defend the lawsuit, and depose the insured to try to, again, perpetuate the denial of coverage. Thank you so much, Karen. Cardi, I can hear you on the air. Barbara from Madison, are you there?
Yeah, I am, Maggie. Hi.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that he's not going to get... I mean, I don't condone what he did, but I think he's really making everybody aware. These insurance companies are ripping us off right and left, and the government is backing these Advantage. It isn't even Medicare. It's a fake, and it screws over people. So, I mean, I don't condone what he did, but in a way, he's almost a modern-day Robin Hood, you know?
I think that's the way some people are portraying this. And so the other question I have about how he's going to be defended is, do the lawyers effectively try to angle in on some sort of jury nullification like he might have done it, but acquit him anyways? So much more to discuss. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This great conversation continues on the other side. If you're on the lines, stay there. You will be next. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Do you turn your best friend in? Question of the day, y'all. Keep it locked.